This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Sita Ali, Area Vice President for EMEA and APAC Solutions Consulting at Appian.
Hi. My role within the company is to help our customers understand the platform itself, the capabilities of the platform, how they can introduce it within their business, or even if it's already introduced, how they can expand the footprint, how it solves business challenges, more importantly, far more importantly, using low-code elements, how can we collapse the time to unlock the values to help the organization. My team is very much there working across the globe to ensure our customers are able to understand the value of the Appian platform.
It's quite a wide platform, containing everything from customer experience tools through to low-code. How does it knit together?
The fundamentals of the platform is really about bringing people, process and data together in a single unified way. To do that, you need capabilities like telephony, artificial intelligence, along with the core capabilities like business process management, business rules, being able to bring data in from multiple locations and present that back in a unified way to the end user with the right controls and entitlements to the roles that they perform.
When you start with customers, where are they coming from on their journey? Have they started to try and build their own platforms? Are they looking to bring together 5 or 6 or 7 disparate systems that they've got in place at the moment? What's the initial engagement?
Our customer engagements can come from a number of spectrums. There are those who have identified a challenge of what they need to do, how they currently work, and what sort of solutions may help them. And there are those who are just looking at a specific siloed challenge where it's just one thing that they currently do as a department and not looking holistically. Often what tends to happen is, depending on which spectrum you're on, is working with prospective clients and getting them to understand what the root cause of the problem is. Sure, we can address the immediate need, but also do we need to shift left to try and understand and help them address and bridge those gaps so that they don't fall into this particular challenge itself? Because it's not just about solving the immediate problem, because if the immediate problem is a bad process, that's not solving a problem. You may put it into a technology, you've only speeded up a bad process itself. But it's looking at and giving the customers a real chance to think back to what if, and when they did design the original process that they're currently working on, what was it like? What should it have been like? The blue sky state, and really starting to bring that to life, because what was inhibiting them or progressing with the current process that they've got is technology, and hence shadow computing turned up, a good old Excel spreadsheets, emails, good tools. That was what they were able to turn to. Those were, should we say, the easy to learn and quickly build something that was usable to address their business needs.
But to move that forward, you just said there, you're addressing the root cause. How many people out there really understand what the root cause is rather than what the symptoms are that they experience day to day?
What's happened, maturity in the way customers think has definitely improved. Going back 20 years where technology was evolving, that was one way of looking at it. They bought off the shelf and fitted into that technology. Now what the customers have become is savvy, knowing the way consumers operate outside of work and the experience that they get with the technologies that they interact with, the smartphones, the home entertainment systems. They want to have those similar sort of experience. Now what then happens is when they come into the enterprise, they're not able to achieve that in a succinct fashion. So the aim is, what we work with is to be able to help our customers bring that into the front where they can start to get that experience. Root causes, a lot of them do understand it, because the often challenge comes is they can't change rapidly because the IT team is overworked. The technology takes far too long to adapt and change and really bring what the business ultimately needs. But this is where low-code has really started to play a strong part, where customers have had the opportunity to think slightly differently, really start to address the problem, not just at the top level, they're unlocking business value, but really target what the core issues are as well, because technology is no longer an inhibitor, it's more of an enabler for them to really change the business.
If we look at banking organisations, we're starting to see them go out there and say to their senior analysts, even their junior analysts, you have to code. when we think about low code, who's actually doing this in an organization? Is this a structured effort led by IT? Is it going out to those users who wrote those macros in Excel and other products? Is it being left to business analysts or to the data science team?
First of all, definition of coding, low code. Let's get that right. When we talk about traditional coding where you are writing Java or .NET, that's not the case when it comes to low code, especially when it comes to Appian. It is really about drawing your intention and bringing that idea of an application to life through illustration, through process design, through graphical user interfaces. Augmenting that and enriching that with the low-code fashion where it's business rules, expressions, in order to ensure that the application that you bring to life is not something that's simple, but also handle your complex business scenario. As for who are working on those, it's not just IT's role anymore to own the business solution. Collaboratively working with business, they're the subject matter experts. They know what they want to do, how they want to do it in order to address the market. Whether it's internal market for the banks or whether it's an external market, to ensure that the outcome is process efficiencies, more governance, averting risks, whatever the business problems that they have. But collaboratively working with IT and business in order to do that is the capability that Appian puts onto the table. But more and more, what we're finding is skilled individuals within the business are also who are enabled, are taking ownership in order to be able to rapidly change some of the application's behaviors and capabilities that is needed to address. And then when it gets into more deeper dive, should we say complex areas, that's where they may be leveraging some of the IT folks' support.
One of the challenges with business processes has always been that by the time you've created it, it's absolutely out of date. Businesses move faster than the paperwork does. When you have users defining a business process, often that's because this is how that person works, or maybe that person and two or three people in their team work. It's not always representative of a wider group that you maybe want to roll a solution out to. How understood are business processes by many of the users who are coming into the low-code environment where they're trying to graph them, draw them out? And how stable are customers finding them?
It's a fantastic question, and I think the way to address this is about particular methodology that gets used in order to bring applications to life. And when I started my career, waterfall was very much a methodology that was used to build software. People would go off and define requirements, define processes, pass it over to the IT folks. They will do some super clever stuff, go out and build an application, and maybe 2 years later you'll see something. Very little business input was done at that time. And if it was done through documentation and not real-time feedback. When things were put to life, it's already out of date. The game's changed. The game has changed purely because, number one, technology has evolved. And the agile methodology has been adopted more and more widely, where you need to pull together a group of people who are subject matter experts from the business alongside some technical folks in order to come together. And we're talking maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 people who are working collaboratively, finding a product owner and using technologies that is able to do this. And Appian as a low-code platform, being able to churn out applications within 8 weeks into live is one of the key capabilities why an agile methodology with those types of thinking along with the technology can deliver continuous improvement. And should things change, you're changing and seeing things within a sprint, and sprint can be done within 2 weeks. So you're only 2 weeks behind should you completely mess up. Or you can continue to add to see the advantage, how quickly you can bring something to life, you know, so that the business can input directly as opposed to just coming maybe 8 weeks or 16 weeks or even a year later and finding that the process is out of date. You've got the fingers on the pulse to address the demand of the business as well as the market demands.
How many of the customers are capturing those business processes? Because if the users are articulating them, if they're capable of drawing them and using that to generate code, there's a real case that the business should be capturing that, hardening it, and making sure it really is fit for purpose from the wider perspective. My experience with a lot of platforms is that that isn't the case, because by the time somebody gets around to taking that process and looking at it, the users have written the next one.
Focus is very important, and any team that goes out to build something together works on a backlog. A backlog often tends to be a set of requirements that comes together, and then you prioritize what you're going to work over a period of time. The intention very much is to use a low-code capability where things have been tested for security, tested for scalability, tested for performance. The intention there is rapidly build something together, knowing that it's going to be secure, it's going to scale, and it's going to be performant, and using the platform's capability to advise whether you have built it in the right fashion and making sure the end user experience, more importantly, is going to be one that's going to be pleasurable and enjoyable. The platform already provides that. So the thinking there is, I'm really thinking about solving the problem rather than thinking about, oh, is the technology going to be able to scale? Is the technology be able to keep up with the changes and the demands that may come along? Because I could go two steps forward and then start again and find that I can do it in a very iterative manner and get the right result at the end of an 8-week sprint cycle to into production.
You sort of answered my next question, but not the question I asked you. My next question was going to be, how scalable is this? But I'm going to take you back to that question. That speed with which users want new apps, the speed with which users believe their processes change in order to be competitive, means that they're using low-code, producing solutions quickly, and then recreating them and creating the next version and the next one and the next one. But there's still a core issue with that process that they're using on why it's important to the business.
In Appian, as I talked about, you're drawing your processes. And through drawing your processes, you're able to run the processes through and see how well it performs, whether it's going to meet the demands or not. And putting that into production straight away and immediately seeing that result through metrics, how quick, how fast, where are my bottlenecks, gives insight into what to optimize and change. There's also got to be elements of governance in anything. You've got to put some governance or else it'll be like the Wild West. That's where both business and IT have to work together to ensure that the right governance is set within the organization. And using agile methodology, Scrum as an example could be one of them, gives them that ability to ensure that they can get a level of control.
Are businesses building architectures based around this? If we think about it, if process runs the business, it makes sense for the business in its wider IT environment to understand what the architectures of all its applications. Otherwise, different teams will recreate the same application to solve the same problem. If we have a bigger architectural view of this, we can see the overlap between processes. We can see the overlap between the code that is created from those processes. More importantly, we can see where our gaps are, where our opportunities are.
We're moving away from the world of Lotus Domino's notes, where you empower everyone and within any department, they can build an expense app and 1,001 exists across the world because that's what you can do. And no one actually talks to each other. That's not what Appian is designed to do, because it really does think about processes that span across the enterprise. What businesses are now trying to do is serve the end customer quicker, faster, cheaper. And to do that, you've got to cut across the entire organization to ensure that a process that you define, different departments can get involved with the right data, the right SLAs, the right KPIs that they then need to ensure that they can act upon information that's been provided so they can move along. If they're not, you're then into the world of letting people know that they've got overdue tasks and the impacts that it could have. So managers, team leads can have visibility on how and where you are within the process. The intention with Appian is very much to help organization cut out the silos, really build applications that help end customers, whether that's internal to an organization or whether that's external, but really look at building reusable artifacts within the platform and then leveraging it wherever that may be. So whether it's application 1 or whether it's application 10 or whether it's application 20, those artifacts continue to become reusable. Everything in Appian that gets designed is reusable, and it's very much intended to help accelerate develop applications quicker as more and more applications have been developed. So the first one, if it takes 8 weeks, the intention is to halve that time as you move, because you have more reusable foundations and reusable artifacts that you've defined within the business.
One of the challenges in my experience of large organizations is KPIs. SLAs aren't any less of a challenge because everybody knows what they think an SLA is, but actually they find it hard to articulate it. There always seems to be a risk that when we start to look at SLAs and KPIs driving things, that we can get lost in the navel gazing of what we're trying to achieve rather than actually achieving anything, which goes against the whole idea of agile and low code and speed to market. How do you find the balance? How do you guide customers to find that balance?
So KPIs and SLAs, navel gazing, I think you've articulated that very well. But they are important metrics in order to determine where you are within a particular process. Are things moving fast enough? And if they're getting stuck within a particular process, where? How we help our customers, again, this is one of the key characteristics of our process engine, is whatever processes are designed, you are able to get a fully fledged details of the performance, the auditing capabilities that gets captured, and report upon it, and to determine if there are areas of improvement that you could make. Now, sometimes it's not just process, because process go back 15 years and everything was done within process. But the change that Appian has ultimately made is really about bringing data together first, unify that, provide the knowledge and information that's needed, and then focus on more leaner processes that are ones that are absolutely needed, rather than just write process for the process sake and only and capture those edge cases which may not happen. Really focus on the high value ones and then iterate around and continue adding and augmenting as you go along. But the intention very much is to help improve business and rapidly change to market demands. Organizations, customers, whether they're in financial services, whether they're in pharmaceuticals, they are very much about making sure that they are ultimately doing things at the right time, in a timely manner, in order to achieve the ultimate outcomes.
One of the things you said earlier, you mentioned consumer technology. We have always, in business, followed consumer technology, whether that be from sound cards on a motherboard to color monitors. We're always behind the curve because business has a different viewpoint of when technology is ready. Voice is a very good example of where we're seeing a technology that people want at home. We're seeing a younger generation coming in and they only talk to their phone. They ask a question, they don't type anything. But in business, we're seeing a lot of focus on the potential for voice assistance. When you're talking to customers and you're looking at how they're building systems, how many of them are taking a considered approach to new technology from an IT perspective and finding that the end user departments are overrunning their plans? And how many are being very open to the business units and saying, look, here's this big pool of technology. How do we use it better?
What Appian has done, and one of our key strengths in the platform, is to leverage technologies like artificial intelligence, like cognitive services, for voice recognition, to speech recognition, to sentiment analysis, to machine learning, and made it easy for those services that are out there offered by some of the larger organizations, Google's, Microsoft, AWS, and make it easy to connect and leverage those services immediately in the platform. We've also provided telephony integration. We talk about voice, so that intelligent contact centers can start to be created where a call can be recognized and diverted to the right person, the right agent, with the right data being presented in front of them to work. Appian's about leveraging the ecosystems that's out there and allowing organizations to build the solution that they need. And the way I would like to look at technology and the way organizations start is, AI is a great word right now, but should AI be used immediately, which it can, to address some of the business challenges, that depends on where the customer is in their journey. If they're moving from paper to technology, there may be room for AI there to scan and extract information, to digitize it in order for it to be used. But the way I want to present and work with our clients is, rather than just focusing on station building, if you think about train track and you think about stations, if people just only focus on building a station and improving just the station, no trains are running, i.e. you put AI in, you put machine learning in, you put whatever new modern technologies in, you know, great lights. The whole idea is, if no trains are running, you don't know whether those services or those capabilities you've added to that train station is actually valuable or not. So it comes working with our clients is, just because you can do something, does it make sense to do it immediately? So it's working out where they are within the journey. So the intention is, let's put the base down, the foundations, to allow them to build. Let's get the trains running through the train stations. Great. Once the trains are running, which train stations should we actually then automate using leveraging business robotics process automation, down to which one can bring on at a later date? Then you give far more control, where customers are leveraging technology at a rate, they mature their process in the way they want to go. Some are already ahead and they can work quite well. Some are still catching up. But the intention is they're selecting a platform in Appian that gives them time span to get there. And working with our customers, we're seeing that they are very much different journeys, but we are able to support their journey needs, whether they want to start with AI immediately or take on something at a later when it comes to voice technologies, as an example.
It is the risk of buzzwords, isn't it? We've seen it with blockchain, we've seen it with AI. Every solution could be solved by this technology. But the reality is organizations, as you've just said, aren't mature enough to get down that route in some cases. In others, they really are ready for it. But one of the things with AI in particular is transparency. There's a growing concern over black boxing within AI solutions. How do we know how it got to that solution? How do we understand where it went wrong so that we can correct it? When you talk to your mature customers, those who are ready and are taking on and deploying AI, how have they begun to address the issue of accountability, for want of a better phrase?
It's a great question about how they've achieved accountability. You know, what I can talk to is what they're doing in order to ensure that whatever AI services they're using, they can find confidence that this is working. One of our partners, a major firm based at Canary Wharf, has built an AI services themselves where data scientists have a machine learning model defined to read documents and identify keywords that then needs to be changed in a contract or a clause. Data scientists had to do this. They need tons of data. AI is all about data. The confidence is really about data. And the more data you have, the higher likelihood, the higher probabilities that you're going to find it's a more closer match. That's them putting people who are well-versed in that space of data modeling and ensuring leveraging an AI service and building something out and then connecting it to a technology like Appian to leverage as and when required to ensure the outcome is there. Technology firms or technology vendors are very much working with what's out there, but you can't replace some of our well-needed data scientists who ultimately do have to design some of the machine learning models. You can use some of the cognitive services that are already out there by those Googles, and you trust that based on the information you see, whether you're confident. How well do you trust a Google Translate, for example, versus a Bing Translate? It's up to you. If you're a law firm, you may not necessarily use all of that, hence pass that on to specialists. But if it's something that's going to be effective and good enough that gets you over the bridge, customers are willing to take that journey, and we're seeing more and more of that.
I think it's good that customers are taking the journey. I'm impressed at the maturity that you're seeing from your customers. Thank you very much for talking to us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Ian.